Hello and welcome to Pixelated Realms Gamescast, your guide through the digital landscape, untangling the mysteries of your favorite titles and discussing the latest and greatest in video game fun. I'm your host, Alex Salerno. Alongside me today is my good friend, Dustin. Tyler is out. Dustin, how's it going?
Pretty well. Just sick as fuck. Like I told you before the call, when you have a four-year-old who's in preschool, you just perpetually sick. It's just all the time. So
that's just the default.
Don't have kids, people. Don't have kids.
Especially if you don't have a strong immune system.
Yeah.
Well, nice. You have to get better before GDC, though.
I know. You're going to kick me out of the room. Like, nope. Sleep in your car.
You're going to sleep in the hallway.
Honestly, though, like, I've been seriously thinking about masking up at GDC just to, like, I don't know, like, these conferences are just like a fucking cesspool, you know? And I know like COVID went around everywhere at DICE, and I'm like, do I want to mask up? But then if you and David don't mask up, does it really matter if I mask up?
I didn't even think about that. I might bring one, and I think probably wear it sometimes, maybe when we're like walking the floor.
Yeah.
It's hard because the whole point of these conferences is to like network. And so, to a certain degree, you want some face time with people, but at the same time, you don't want to get sick.
As like the only person who has a mask on. And hold on, I'm going to cut off for a second. This is a beeping at me.
Yeah. All right. Well, that gives me a good opportunity to talk about the fact that next week, so here's our housekeeping. Next week, we're going to GDC. We will be doing an episode still beforehand. So, in two episodes, we'll probably do a GDC recap. So, for anybody interested in that, look forward to our talk on the Game Developer Conference. I'm super excited. Dustin's super excited. We might even take a little bit of video about that and see where we get. But today is a little bit – this week has been kind of slow on the news cycle for video games. So we're going to talk about, I think, mostly our anticipated games coming up. So what are we looking forward to in this year from this point on? Let's jump in and start with, though, first – and I want to bring this up so I don't say this wrong, but we want to say a quick piece about Akira Toriyama. Sadly passed away on March 1st. He was one of the anime manga artists and designers of, you know, one of the greats and creator of Dragon Ball Z famously and I think many others. So we just want to take a moment.
Also, but yeah.
And we wanted to take a moment to you know, say something about him and it's just sad, as you know, we lost one of the greats, and it's really sad.
Yeah, you know, like I posted this to Brian from Game Informer. He was talking about it on Twitter, and I was like, "Dude, like this, like you know, like, I'm not someone who gets like super mushy when like people die, like famous people die, especially I don't know them, you know. But there have definitely been a few in my life where I'm like, oh shit, because it's just like such a meaningful impact." Mm-hmm. You know, like one of those was Robin Williams. I was really sad when Robin Williams died. But then for me with Akira dying, it was more like when Satoru Iwata died back in 2015, like from Nintendo, like the longtime CEO. Mm-hmm. And it was like, holy shit, because it's just, I watched Dragon Ball like my whole childhood. You know, it's just like, and like one of the people who were responsible for like creating those memories for you pass away, it's kind of like a little bit of you dies with it. So it's just it's super bummer when I saw the news the other night.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he's probably, I mean, Dragon Ball Z was the gateway drug for a lot of people in anime, and I think an entire generation owes him for being interested in it, and it's just sad to see him pass. And I mean, relatively early, like, you know, I don't know exactly what the causes of it were, but he was 68 years old. You know, I mean, not super young, but also seems like it's just sad.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And, you know, yeah, the whole Dragon Ball saga, really, right? He was responsible for. So, yeah, it sucks.
Yep. All right. Well, on to some happier news then. Let's dive into, you know, what are you currently playing? And then we'll go into our anticipated games.
Why don't we stay video games adjacent for a second and talk about the Super Mario Brothers movie sequel?
Oh, yes. It was Mario Day a couple days ago. Good call. I didn't watch
Yeah.
the reveal. Did you see? What was it?
I didn't. I saw it's coming out in 2026. I'm pretty excited. I really enjoyed the first one. That's one of the only movies I've taken Arthur to the theaters to see in person. Arthur's my 4-year-old, for people who don't know. Very difficult to get a 4-year-old to sit through a movie, but especially at the theaters. So he really did. So it was tons of fun. You know, it was a super fun movie. You know, I know everybody like has a love-hate relationship with Chris Pratt at this point in his career, but I thought he killed it as Mario. For the most part. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what they bring to the table with the second movie.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I actually liked the movie, and I think a lot of people were pleasantly surprised. You know, when Chris Pratt was announced to be Mario, there was a lot of hesitation, and we were like, I don't know how that'll be. But you know, the movie was good. It was fun. And so I am excited to see a second one. And I think Naomi will be old enough to probably sit in the theater and watch it too, at least, you know, during the matinee. So,
Yeah, two years, right? So she'll be about 3.5-ish,
yeah.
almost 4, depending on when it
So,
comes out in 2026.
yeah. So maybe that'll be one of her first, if not the first, theater movie she sees.
Yeah.
So, very
Cool.
cool.
All right, now, what was the question? What am I playing?
Yeah, what are you playing? Anything different? Still the same?
Oh man, pretty much the same, honestly. I didn't get to game that much this week, as much as I would have wanted to. I'm still sitting on 2 hours into the trial on Skull and Bones. I am going to try to play the full 8. I saw that, you know, Elden Ring has some content coming out later this year, and so I really feel like I should finally pick that game up. I've had it. It's just like such a daunting experience, you know, like you just know you're like walking into like fucking 80 plus hours,
Yeah.
you know, and I'm like, ain't nobody got time for that shit, like,
That's how
you
I feel
know.
about Persona 5 is like I refuse like I don't want to start it because I heard it's so long. But Elden Rings is I would say it's like my top 3 favorite games of all time. So I mean, you got to give it a chance. It's so good.
Yeah, plus if I do, then I can finally tell my buddy who gave me the code that I played it, because he was like, "Are you gonna play this game?" And I was like, "I'm gonna play it, trust me. Are you sure?" I'm like, "Yes." And then I haven't played it, so he's like, "Never giving you codes again." He totally stiffed me on Hogwarts Legacy. You gotta buy it.
Yeah,
So
well, maybe when the DLC comes out, you have to at least play enough of Elden Ring that we can do an episode about it as the
well.
kind of resident non-Souls player.
Yeah, well, what's funny is like he was actually talking to me about it. He's like, "Yeah, you know, like, I got really good at the game when it came out, and now it's been so long that like you almost like forgotten everything, and I had to pick it up 2 years later and like jump into this DLC and like relearn all these techniques that you had like, you know, down to a T before. So yeah, you know, 2 years later, that is a quite a gap between content, but I don't know if anything's come out in between. I don't think so.
Some minor updates. There were some like PvP updates and some things, but nothing major. I don't think there was any like new weapons or anything or
Yeah.
content really.
Yeah, so, you know, but I am gonna I have Cyberpunk and Hogwarts Legacy sitting down on my PlayStation 5 that I need to pick up. But yeah, it's been a crazy week. It's been sick, and again, like, even when I'm not sick, 2 kids and a wife who's not a gamer makes it difficult to sit down and play. Plus, she stiffed me a couple times when we were supposed to get online and a game. Like, I'm busy.
Yeah, well, I also have a family, so it's not as easy to schedule time as it was
You only have
before.
one, though. Only one kid, so you don't get as much of a break.
Yeah, okay, you're gonna hold that over me.
Yeah. One is more than enough to keep you completely busy. So.
Yeah. Well, I finally beat Spider-Man
Oh,
and
nice.
Spider-Man 2. I was like, I gotta finish this, and I was so close before, so I chipped away at it. Dude, that game is so good. I love the I was pleasantly surprised by the ending of the game and how well, I guess I should say like spoiler warning. I'm not
If you
gonna
haven't played it by now, you don't get spoilers.
Yeah, it's like over a year. So
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2, if you haven't played Spider-Man 2, maybe skip a few minutes on this one. But I you know I was when I jumped back in, I was just before the part where the true bad guy reveals himself. So it goes from, you know, Kraven to Venom. And I thought that transition was really well done. And, you know, a lot of games, you can kind of tell that you're like, oh, this bad guy isn't the real bad guy. There's like, you know, it's really this other thing. And I did know in this one, but I didn't know as to like what scale they were going to take it to. I thought maybe it was like, oh, okay, we were going to go through Kraven. And then after Kraven, maybe there'd be like a small segment. No, like a whole third of the game and this like massive part of it is Venom. And I was like, oh, this is awesome.
That. Yeah, I didn't know that, and I thought back afterwards. I was like, "Oh, the fucking special edition has like a Venom statue." But when like Venom made an appearance in the game, I just like completely deleted that from my mind. Mm-hmm. I was like, "Oh shit, Venom's in this. That's dope." And then yeah, like you get to the point where like you're gonna encounter Kraven at the end, and you're already at the end of that arc, I guess. And you're like, "Oh man, I'm like about to wrap up the game," and then you're like. No, yeah, like you're like probably 60%, maybe a little over, maybe like a third. It's not like a third of the game left, and you're like, holy shit, there's like a lot more content. Mm-hmm. And then I will say I wasn't a big fan of the last suit you get for Miles
because yeah, I just agree. Like,
isn't that like too? Like, you're gonna be able to figure out who he is with that. You know?
Yeah, like because he has like his hair showing and like some stuff. Yeah, I mean, a lot of Miles' suits are way better than Peter's suits, but that particular suit, and they force change it, so you have to wear that one in like certain scenes.
Yeah.
So I was like, this suit's not even like half as cool as his other suits. But
yeah, did you collect all of the spider bots?
Yeah, I ended up platinuming it. So
okay, cool. Yeah.
I just finished it up.
You do all the spider bots, and then you get that cool scene with about the Sony movie.
Yeah,
which was kind of cool.
That was a nice little nod to it. So, like, not a huge spoiler, but yeah. So, if you do all of this one side mission, and you go, it ends up taking you to this like alleyway, and you know, if you've ever seen Into the Spider-Verse, so they travel or across the Spider-Verse, they travel through dimensions with these like hexagonal portals. Well, one of those portals opens up and you kind of see into another dimension, into another character, and they do a little scene and then it closes the portal. And so, and they even mention Miguel a little bit. So basically are acknowledging that this video game is part of that Spider-Man Sony universe, which is very cool, which I mean, obviously makes sense. Sony owns the IP and everything. So,
yeah, I mean, it's the perfect gateway to be like, okay, Gwen. Gwen has to be in Spider-Man 3, whether they bring her from another dimension or if it's Gwen from the one they're in. I imagine they'll probably bring her from another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, Spider-Man's fantastic. What was I going to say? Remember we had a whole conversation a couple months ago about plotting versus like completing a game 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually think I can plot Spider-Man because there is a quest or an accomplishment you have to do, and it's like to like walk across like a tightrope and like stealth kill like 30 guys or something like that.
Oh,
and there's no more missions, and I've tried to do it by like finding like bad guy encounters in the city, and I'll like go up in the sky and like put one across the buildings and like try to do it, and it just doesn't give me credit for them, so I'm just like, shit, I might actually not be able to do it unless I start another campaign, which I'm not going to do. So,
well, they just dropped New Game Plus, like literally like a couple days ago. So actually, that might be a good opportunity for you to do that. So you just do a New Game Plus, everything carries over. And they have new suits. So if you are in New Game Plus, you like unlock new stuff. So I was thinking of doing it. And there's new achievements actually for New Game Plus, but it counts as like a separate kind of game. So I was thinking, I was like, oh man, I literally just beat it and they dropped it. So I was like, maybe I'll hop in and do the New Game Plus stuff. But I think that would probably be an easy way for you to get that one. Is that the last one you have?
I think I have like four different ones, but that was the one I was trying to complete. And then I was like, well, I can't do it. The one I did recently though, I flew across the whole map, you know, without touching the ground. So that was kind of a cool one to figure out the path that I could take to get that done. I ended up flying across from Financial District and flying across to Brooklyn. and then like going down, that was like much easier. The first time I was trying to go through Manhattan, and I with the skyscrapers and everything, I got really fucking close, like to finding a path that worked. But I would just like kept coming up like 10 feet short from hitting the roof fan. And so I was like, fuck, dude, I'm going to just try to find a different way.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I like that one a lot, actually. It's like, and I made the mistake of I read it and then didn't double check it when I went to do it. So I did it in reverse. So I did it from the Brooklyn side to the financial district. And I was like, why didn't the trophy pop? And I'm looking and I'm like, it's like financial district to Astoria. And I'm like, ah, dang it. Yeah, I did it backwards.
I did the same thing. But well, kind of. I didn't realize I had to go to Astoria. I just thought I was flying across Manhattan. So I went from financial district to Harlem. All the way to the end, like where the Mays graveyard is, and I was like, "What the fuck?" I just flew across the whole thing, and I looked at it, I was, "Ah, shit! I gotta go to Astoria." Fuck. But yeah, and that was a fun mission to kind of like figure out. Again, it's something that I don't think you'd ever accomplish unless you were purposely like trying to do the trophies. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. And like, I know we kind of talked about that a little bit, but that's kind of one of the fun things about trophies is that like, with exception of ones that are just obnoxiously difficult, but like one things like that, that are just kind of like these like mini challenges that are difficult, but not like not impossible, just something you wouldn't normally do, kind of adds another layer of fun. It's kind of like if you ever read the Where's Waldo books and in the back, there's like the secret items that you can go and find, you know, you're like,
yeah,
that is. That's kind of what I feel like, but such a fun game. And if you know anybody out there has a PlayStation hasn't played it, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
You know what else I was playing as I picked up. So after I beat Spider-Man, I picked up Hellblade: Senua's Saga, and because on a recommendation from somebody, and you know, one, it's a Viking game, and I'm a huge Viking person. Like I love that culture, like any Scandinavian Norse culture, and I love it. And so I was like, okay, like I'm in. I didn't realize that it's like a really short experience. It was probably like an 8-hour game, and I platinumed the whole thing. Like the achievements are really easy. Like it's just like play through the game basically. And so I was like, oh, cool. So I was able to like knock the platinum out. But the game is so cool and unique. And the second game is coming out, so that's another reason why I was like, oh, I wanna play this, because we'll talk about it in anticipated games, but I was like waiting for that one to come out. But what I didn't know is that the game is like this like psychological thriller game, and I don't know if you've played this one or even seen it, but like so I have the spatial like PlayStation spatial headset, not the new one that came out, but like the original one, and so it has 3D audio. And in the game, you play as Senua, who's this like picked warrior, which is like the southern part of Scandinavia. And she is trying. So spoilers, but the game is like years old. So she's her like lover died, and she's trying to go into hell to revive him. But she has like schizophrenia or something, or like some kind of psychosis. She has like some mental disorder. And so while you're playing the game, she has these like voices that like talk to you the whole time and are like casting doubts on you the whole time. So you're like walking and they're like, why is she going that way? She's going the wrong way. What's going on? She shouldn't go that way. Oh my God. I can't believe she just did that. And it's really interesting to play the game because you're like, whoa, like I'm kind of nervous.
But were you going the wrong way? Is it giving you real hints? So it's just like fucking with you?
No, it's fucking with you like the whole time. And, you know, the whole game is actually about like essentially mental health, sort of. I mean, not in like a preachy way, but like, you know, like she's kind of crazy. And it's about her coming to terms with that and realizing that, like, because she has been considered cursed like her whole life, and people have tried to avoid her, and like her village blames her for all these things, and she kind of has to come to terms with the fact that no, she's not cursed, she just has like an issue that she needs to work through. And it's really, really cool, interesting game, and the art style is absolutely gorgeous, and there's a little bit of combat, and so it's kind of like one of those games where it's like a puzzle kind of game, but it's also a little bit of combat.
Yeah.
But very short experience, very cool, very intense. It's like one of those like very dense games. Like it's like 8 hours, so not like too short, but you know, like compact, very intense game, like very emotionally intense. The cutscenes are very intense. I mean, I don't want to spoil too much, but like, it's just like, you're just like, you come out of it and you're just like, whoa, like emotionally exhausted, which I was not expecting.
Whole Saturday, just like wake up in a good mood, go to sleep in like a weird mood.
Yeah, totally. I'm excited about the second one.
Yeah, but that's funny. You made me think of Vikings because you're like, oh, it's a Viking game. I recently saw Shane Gillis' stand-up on Netflix. You know Shane Gillis is?
Yeah, the Down syndrome one.
Yeah, and he was just talking about, he's like, how any like historical army in history, if you make them gay, that they're way worse.
Yeah.
He's like, you can imagine like gay Vikings, you know, like you're on the island and like, oh man, the Vikings are coming. And then you're like, they're going to rape the women and children. This is terrible. And then they pull up their little pride flag and like, oh no, that's way worse. I had me cracking up. It was really funny.
Yeah. I think his stuff is pretty funny.
His skits, his like little skits are really funny. The one on the plane where they think it's going to crash and it's like, everyone's calling their loved ones, and he calls somebody he hates, and he's like, calls like a auto parts place. He's like, yeah, man, fuck you guys. Meet me in the parking lot 10 minutes. I'm going to fuck you up. It's not pretty funny.
Yeah. I like some of his stuff. Got anything else? Any other big plays?
No. Otherwise we'll move on. Nothing that I'm playing, man. I'm boring. It's just the same shit. Whatever I'm playing with you is basically what I'm playing these days.
Oh, yeah. Skull and Bones, which we're probably going to give up on soon.
Yep.
Yeah, just we like
Power World's just dead in the group.
I'm not going to go on that tangent. But before we dive in, though, you know, we just want to say that we really appreciate everyone who follows and subscribes to us. You know, we post new episodes every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on podcast services and YouTube. You can also find us on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Pixelated Realms Podcast. It's the best way to support us. You know, we're a small, tiny, little indie podcast. We work really hard to try and create an episode every week. So we really appreciate, everyone that listens to us. So thank you very much. Also, if you want to ask us a question or leave a comment, be part of the show, you can now go to pixelatedrealms.org/ask. That's A-S-K. You can leave us a comment, a comment, and we'll talk about it at the end of the show. So let's actually bring that up. But what? So this year has been kind of a catch up on your backlog year, which honestly I appreciate. And I've been using it, like I said, to kind of catch up. I just jumped back into Horizon Forbidden West because I only got about halfway through that game and I ended up getting distracted by something else. And then I also have the Harry Potter Hogwarts Legacy, which I also have to catch up on. So I was like, okay, at least I'm going to take this time. But then Helldivers came in and has been stealing all my time because Helldivers is just fucking greatest game ever.
Do you want a shirt? Do you want a shirt?
No. Oh, the one you sent me? No, but yeah. Maybe I should. We can match.
You get a shirt, actually.
I'll wear it to GDC.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then 2 years when it shows up.
Yeah.
GDC 2026.
Yeah, exactly. And Naomi's with me. Yeah. So what upcoming games are you looking forward to? There are a few, right? There's not a lot of them are actually unannounced, but the ones that are announced, like what are you feeling?
Well, I mean, like from the stuff that's announced with dates, honestly, like, there's not really anything that I'm just like clamoring to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I know Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut is coming out and I love the first one. It's like one of my favorite games of all time. But unless there's new content, I'm not going to pick it up I'm not going to pay the money just to get like some new armor and stuff like that. It's funny because you mentioned Horizon and I think Ghost actually killed Horizon for me because Ghost combat is so calculated and it's like a little bit like a slightly slower pace to the movement, everything. Or I played that and then I tried to go straight into Horizon and I just couldn't play Horizon for like 30 minutes. Just fucking hated the way the character mode, it's just like really fast and like twitchy kind of, and I was like, I don't like how this plays. So I just gave up on it after 30 minutes because again, I was coming right out of the other one, mm-hmm. and I loved it so much. I was just like,
yeah, that's a hard transition.
But I'd say from games that are announced but don't have release dates, probably Star Wars Outlaws is the thing that I'm looking forward to the most. A little worried, you know, like I worked on Star Wars Battlefront and Star Wars Battlefront 2 Jedi Fallen Order when I was doing PR for EA. And I know EA gets a ton of shit, but, you know, the Battlefront 2 had a horrible launch, but the game, by the time they stopped putting new content in the game, it was just thriving. I mean, absolutely thriving. Like, I mean, one of the greatest comeback stories really never told. And video games, it's that I'm sure the game still has a huge player base. And then Fallen Order, obviously, was, like, really well-received. But I kind of like the play style better, where Ubisoft games, I don't... Like, I'm not an Assassin's Creed guy, you know, as you guys know. I played Division. I played Rainbow Six Siege. I like those games. But, I don't know. We'll see. You know, yeah. I'm not like a huge fan of like the Ubisoft design aesthetic.
Yeah, I actually Ubisoft definitely has like a style now, right? They're like doubling down on their open world, tower unlocking sections, side quests everywhere kind of style, and I fully expect Outlaws to follow that pattern, and I think there's a place for that style. It's very casual, in my opinion, where it's kind of like checking tasks off a list. Not that all, you know, all games to a certain degree have that, but more so in this, where it's like, okay, I can see the entire map, you know, kind of like Horizon, and less heavy on narrative and more on, you know, go unlock this area. Okay, go unlock that area. Do this side quest. And kind of, you know, very, you know, in a casual way. And by casual, I mean, like, nothing's particularly hard. The story is usually there, but it's usually kind of secondary to like, exploring the map. And we'll see. Sometimes it hits and sometimes it doesn't. So, like, I really love Valhalla, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, even though it's not an Assassin's Creed game, which is funny. It's, like, my favorite of the Assassin's Creed game, but it's the one that is least like Assassin's Creed. But I really liked that game, and I felt like the story was really good, and I felt like exploring the map was very satisfying for me, because it like felt like you have like a battle map, and you're like pushing, like exploring the map actually had a reason for it in that. But then I played like Ghost Recon, and I actually like the Ghost Recon games, but I like them because it's something I can do when I want to be kind of mindless and just chip away at something. I don't play that game because I like enjoy the story. Like, the story is shit, but you know, it's like, okay, I just want to be kind of like some soldier and go and, you know, clear a fort and do some shit. Like, it's just some kind of nonchalant game. So I feel like there is a place for those kind of games where it's like, I need something that isn't too intense. Is just kind of like a video game, right? Like a classic video game experience. But is that going to translate to a Star Wars game, where Star Wars is traditionally very story driven, very environment driven, right? The unique universe and everything like that. So I'm hoping, of course we all are, that they are able to take that and make it something really rich. But that's not something Ubisoft has traditionally been known for. You know, they're known for making kind of like very large games that are like, I wouldn't say like super shallow, but, you know, medium depth. Can't hear you.
Did you mute yourself? Like, yeah. I was like, can we get like a Naughty Dog Star Wars game? Like,
that would be great. I think Respawn just had their game canceled, and they had a Star Wars game that was canceled because of like layoffs and stuff like that. And I'm really disappointed in that, because that I was looking forward to. I'll have to look it up, but I don't think it was what the name of it was. There's a lot of Star Wars projects that I felt like kind of got shelved. Like the Knights of the Old Republic remake is still in limbo right now. Respawn's got canceled. Outlaws is still going strong, so hopefully that one doesn't Well, I mean, I think that one's too far along. I don't think that one's going to get canceled at this point. But yeah, you never know.
We canceled that Mandalorian game.
Yeah. So,
which honestly, like, I don't really mind. Like, I like the Mandalorian TV show. I know you definitely do. I mean, it's the whole, like, you know, you got your tattoo.
But I got that long before the show.
Yeah. But, so, like, I don't know. I feel like it's just not needed.
Yeah, that much. I was telling my brother this the other day, like, I think we need more unique Star Wars stories. So, you know, part of the beauty of Star Wars is the cast of characters and the unique universe that's been created. But the underdog story is the best story. And you can't have an underdog story of the characters that have their arc completed already every time. Like, you can't, like, you can't continuously be the underdog. So it's like, we need new characters. That's why, like, I think Fallen Order did such a good job, because it's a new character.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that on the flip side of the argument, right, people are like, Cal Kestis, like, we have so much information about the Star Wars universe. Like, where was this guy the whole time? How come he's not in the movies? How come he's not in the shows? Like, if he's, like, this Jedi that exists, how is he flown under the radar from Order 66? And, you know, there were opportunities to bring him into the Mandalorian and that, because the timelines line up. But I don't know if they did that on purpose. Well, obviously, there had to be some purpose behind it.
I'm sure Cameron
Monaghan would have loved to, you know, reprise that role in live action. But yeah, maybe that's because of that exact thing, right? Where it's like, oh, well, he has his own thing going in the games and kind of keeping them separate. But yeah, he doesn't have to be like a main character. I mean, even just like, I think people lose their shit just from like a cameo.
Yeah. Well, he actually did an interview and he said he would reprise the role for a live action, but only if he has a complete story arc, meaning, like, you know, he can't just be a side character.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants, like, Cal Kestis' show, basically.
A show, or just being a major character in a show. I think it's only a matter of time before they bring him into something. I think they're just probably waiting to figure out where he fits in.
Hopefully he'll be in the Mandalorian movie.
I'd be surprised if he wasn't. Well, I wouldn't be surprised either way, I think. But that would be good.
Yeah. But yeah, Star Wars, we'll see. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of fears that it's just going to be, well, I'd say fears, but some people might really love it. It's just like an Assassin's Creed reskin in Star Wars land, you know? You know, Assassin's Creed's massively popular, well-selling game, so there's obviously a huge audience for that. So we'll see. But yeah, if it's good, I'll definitely pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to, you know, pick it up either way. Hopefully it's good and not a waste of money. Unless it's like comes out and people are like, it's awful, but
unplayable. It's unplayable state.
Yeah, we'll see. Do you have any interest in Dragon's Dogma? That's what I'm looking forward to coming out. Dragon's Dogma comes out in a few months. I don't know if you've seen all the stuff online of, like, they released for pre-orders, the character creator. And it's apparently, like, very detailed, and people are just making, like, these ugly characters. People making, like, Shrek and like Leon from Resident Evil, and, you know, Kratos from God of War and stuff like that. So people are making, like, all these crazy characters.
Looking it up right now because I'm not actually familiar with the game, but it looks like, yeah, like a medieval, like, kind of setting.
It's a game, so it's a fantasy action adventure game, kind of akin to, I want to say a little bit like Dark Souls, but not fully that. It's a difficult game, but it's also like a party based RPG kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But it's more story based, and it's known for being having like a really good intense story. And so I never played the first one, but I'm semi familiar with it, and I'm excited to see what happens with this one. So it comes out in like a week and a half or something like that. So I'm looking forward to that. I haven't really looked too hard into the trailers or anything. I kind of want to be surprised. I would be surprised if this doesn't come out with like a 80 plus Metacritic score. Just given like the the scale of it.
Yeah. What about not Dragon Age Dreadwolf? It's supposed to get a release date this summer. Well, like, we'll find out likely what the release date is. They said summer. EA typically like will do it in May or June. So yeah. EA isn't one to like reveal a game in depth and then like have it sit for like 2 years. Usually, like if they reveal a game, like they'll reveal it in May and will come out in like October or November. So I expect Dragon Age to come out this fall.
You think this fall?
Yeah. I mean, from working out there, like very few games. Like Dragon Age got teased like, God, like 2019, the first teaser. The only game I can really think of that EA announced really far in advance, like started showing gameplay and everything, was Anthem. They did an Anthem like thing at E3, and then, or EA Play. And then I think it was the next EA Play that they did like a huge deep dive, and then it came out the following February. So that was like the longest campaign I can remember. Most EA games, like said, like that, they will do a reveal in May or June, usually May. So they'll do like reveal in May, and then they'll do like gameplay for the first time at Summer Games Fest or E3 or EA Play, whatever it is now or used to be. And then they'll have a campaign they'll run through like usually October, November. So okay. Yeah, if they announce it in May or June, I'll be really surprised if it doesn't come out this year.
Yeah, they're probably hoping for like a kind of, because that's like the big AAA games come out in fall, like the kind of game of the year contenders. I'd be interested to see. That's the thing
too. They'll make sure it comes out early enough, ideally, as long as there's no delays, that it can be included in the judging for the Game Awards.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I know there was some turmoil, I guess, in the development stage of this game because there was like some layoffs, there was some like it changed hands a few times. So I mean this game's been in development for like, I don't know, like 10 years or something. So I'd be very interested to hopefully it gets the love that it, you know, deserves, because you know, Dragon Age has been a really strong franchise. So, you know, BioWare, of course, great company, doesn't release anything unless they think it's great, with a few exceptions.
I was going to say, careful. Yeah. Careful.
Yeah, but, you know, lately they've been having a little bit of trouble, so this could be the one that kind of brings them out of that, or stick them further in, so.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta imagine if Dragon Age came out and bombed, that, I mean, BioWare would be in a pretty tough spot, I have to imagine, because Anthem did terribly, obviously, everyone knows that. I don't think they've even come out with anything since Anthem, have they? Anthem came out in 20. I guess it came out Mass Effect Legendary Edition 2021.
Yeah, but
which isn't really like a new game, right?
So
they haven't really come out with anything since Anthem, like new game.
Yeah, that was 2019. That was 5 years ago. Yeah.
So I'm sure that, you know, they're obviously working on this Dragon Age game. I imagine they might be working on some kind of Mass Effect game also behind the scenes that hasn't been announced yet.
Well, they did announce they're working on, they did like a teaser trailer for Mass Effect.
Okay. So, you know, stick to what they're good at, you know, go back to Dragon Age and Mass Effect. Even though, like, I don't think Andromeda was super well received, right?
Mass Effect. It had a lot of, like, bugs. If I remember, I never played it, but it was like the one where like the character animation, like the eyes were popping out of their head while they were talking and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, there's really a lot of talented people at BioWare. I mean, it's just across the games industry, you know, there's no studio out there that just has like people who are shit at their job for the most part. I mean, so yeah, you know, fingers crossed that, they crush it with, the new Dragon Age.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, and hopefully it's not a flop.
Yeah, but nobody kind of ever is rooting for a game to fail, right? We're like, as people who are in the industry, like, we always want to see games come out and do well and succeed. So, hopefully we will.
Yep. Let's see. Hellblade 2 is coming out. I did kind of talk about that. I am looking forward to that one. Destiny 2, The Final Shape. So, like, you know, I'm a huge Destiny 2 fan. I have probably 1,500 hours or more in that game. Played all of the expansions, done all of the raids. You know, one of the, like, you know, higher-end players. I'm not looking forward to this expansion. I actually have stopped playing the game this year, and I'm going to play The Final Shape, which is the next one. It comes out in June, I think, if as long as it doesn't get pushed back. But, like, yeah. I'm going to play the bare minimum amount to get the story and then be done with it. Like, Destiny 2 is just... I mean, it's always been on shaky ground, but the ground is, like, finally giving in. And, like,
I mean,
they just...
Knows how also. I mean...
Yeah, I think they do. Like, they just released an update that added, like, these, like, hoverboards that you can, like, grind on rails and shit. And everyone is like, this is what you're fucking working on? Like, we want, like, legit content, and you give us some fucking skateboard? Like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
This is not the stuff we're asking for.
No.
Is this the final expansion?
In the Light and Dark saga, it's the final expansion. So they haven't announced any future expansions beyond this. This is supposed to conclude the arc of the Witness, which is like the main bad guy right now. Whether or not it's the final Destiny 2 expansion, like ever, who knows? I don't know if they will pivot to a Destiny 3, though they've famously been kind of against doing that. They're like, what's different? They kind of think like, what would be different between 2 and 3 that would make you want a 3, right? Which, you know, is makes sense.
Well, Blizzard's talking about Overwatch 2, so, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if it's just going to be a reskin, why bother? But, so I would be surprised if this is the final, I mean, it's called The Final Shape, but if this is the final Destiny 2 expansion. But I think they're struggling. I mean, I haven't looked at the numbers, but as far as, like, interest is concerned, I think... it's been declining.
I think this is it, honestly. And I'd say that because just a couple different moves they've made, right? Like, obviously, Marathon is in development. Mm-hmm. We don't know how far that it's out. Or that's, I think that's a code name. I don't think that's a real name. You know, so Marathon is being developed. So that's one. You know, they're still technically independent, even if they're, like, a massive studio. So... I don't know how much they're able to split their resources over multiple AAA quality games. Actually, they got bought, though, right? They got bought by Microsoft.
Yeah. Sony.
Sony.
They were originally... So, I mean, they were independent. Then they got bought by Microsoft. Then they went independent again, and now Sony bought them.
Yeah, yeah. But still, you know, like, the other reason I think that they could be... This could be it for Destiny is because they... got rid of the community team for the most part, right? Like, all these people who had built up these lasting relationships with the community that people could turn to. If you're still planning years of support for Destiny, why would you make that move?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if this is it, and after this expansion, they're no longer supporting the title with new content, well, they'll probably do what Blizzard did and just keep pushing out like cosmetics. But, like, no, like, new story-driven content, then you don't really need that as much. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. With Marathon coming, them, like, making moves to, like, kind of axe a lot of the public-facing people in the company, in the Destiny 2 community, I wouldn't be surprised if this is it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be very interested to see what happens with Marathon, because that's another game that, like, nobody asked for. It's one of their older IPs. I mean, not nobody, but, you know, not a lot of people. It's an older IP of theirs. One of their, I think it was their first game they ever made as Bungie. And, you know, back during the Halo days. And so they're like, oh, we're going to bring it back. But I don't see a lot of buzz about it. You know, nobody's like, oh my God, they're bringing back Marathon. So, and they haven't released anything about it yet. So unless that game comes out and really surprises everybody, I'm kind of curious to like what their strategies are going to be going on in the future. Like, what's the future of Bungie? Like, is it still Destiny? Is Marathon going to completely wipe that out? Is there some other unknown thing we're not like seeing in their strategy? Like, what's going to go?
How much do you think that's like an internal conversation where people are like, hey, we love Destiny, guys, but like, we're kind of tired of making Destiny. you know? And like, I wonder if that's any internally driven where like talent starts to leave because they're like kind of tired of working on the same IP for years and years. So like, if you guys are going to do something new, then like, we're going to go work on something new, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I certainly see that. And I think like a bunch of lead people in Bungie had left like over the last couple of years, probably because something like similar to that, right? Like they're just kind of like, all right, like Destiny hasn't been well received in a long time. I mean, it's still popular, no doubt, but it hasn't been the talk of the town in a long time, in like years. And, you know, people are probably like, I'm a really good, you know, creative and I can do other things. And so they're moving on. I mean, it's hard to say from the outside, but
yeah,
I mean, that's exactly the problem is nobody kind of knows, you know, can nobody can peek in there.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Obviously, like, we'll know pretty soon.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's move on real quick. I want to talk about Elden Ring. You know, we did talk about that a little bit, I think. But, you know, they're releasing Shadow of the Erdtree, which is a $40 DLC. So it's like a significant chunk of content. And like I was saying earlier, like it's top three favorite games of all time. So I'm super excited about that. And it's going to be hard to jump in. But I, you know, I'm excited. I mean, my character was so, I beat the game like a bunch of times. So I was on like New Game Plus like 5. So I wonder if I jump in, like, is this, am I going to be too overpowered or is it going to be so hard because they're traditionally their DLC is like way harder than the base game? Am I just going to get absolutely crushed?
Yeah, I didn't get through the Souls 3 DLC. I downloaded that and I played some and I was like, so we'll see. Like we were talking about earlier, I still need to play Elden Ring.
Yeah, it's a good time now to jump in.
Yeah, no, it's probably, but it's like 80 hours or more, right? So it's like, oh, God.
I mean, you could, if you beeline the story, I beat it with all my like top tier gear. I've beat it in like 4 or 5 hours. So let's say you could probably, if you beeline the story without all that shit, you could probably do it in like 10.
Hmm.
10 to 12. If you don't do any of the side stuff. But
I put like 100 hours into Dark Souls 3. So that's why I'm like using it as like my gauge, you know?
Yeah.
It can't be much shorter. So yeah, I'll probably install it and start it up soon.
Yeah. Let's see. I mean, and that, as far as like announced games, that's like it. There's not like a ton going on.
Which is normal. Most of the big games, again, like most, a lot of companies will announce their big AAAs in May. And they'll come out in the fall. So it's not shocking that we don't know much about what's happening this at the end of this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, May and June will get a huge download of what's to come, and hopefully there's a lot of excitement.
Yeah, true.
Hopefully we'll be excited with the stuff that's coming.
Yeah. I know I'm waiting for, like, a Hades 2 release date and the Dune Awakening. I'm waiting for that. That'll probably be a fall. Both of those will probably be fall.
Did you see that thing, Neil deGrasse Tyson, like, shit on the way the worms move in Dune? Yeah. People are giving him crap. I guess this is, like, a normal thing for him to like talk about the physics in movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of agree with like Brian from Game Informer was like, you know, like if someone like calls out the inaccuracies, like it's inaccurate, like, you know, like what's wrong with that? You know, like
I don't think there's anything wrong. And you know, he does it for fun. Like this is probably fun for him. You know, it's a movie. He doesn't actually give a shit. He's just like, hey, like let's talk science and movies.
Yeah. I don't know enough about the guy, but like for whatever reason, like he seems to be really well, like very unliked within like the world of Twitter sphere. So I don't know why. I don't know like if he's like a piece of shit or what not, but whatever reason, people do not like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That's funny because in all the circles I'm in, people love him. So it's really just, I think it's just where you're like looking.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I've seen videos of him like where, and I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. So I have no beef with the guy. Like, he's smart as shit. So I think like, you know, when you have someone talking about like science, like that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So I don't know why anyone would have a problem with that.
I saw another video later of like, okay, how would the worm actually propel itself like that, and the person that ended up coming up with like something. They were like, okay, so he ingests all the sand and then he has to like excrete it out his backside with like a jet engine. So he's like, he's this giant sand shitting worm that shits so hard it propels him at like 100 miles an hour.
That's funny. Has he did a video like this on Tremors? I imagine so, probably. Tremors.
Yeah, probably.
Physics, terrible.
But I don't think Dune is going for accuracy of science, you know? They're going for science fiction.
Honestly, why wouldn't she, like, consult a physicist, though, like, on something like that, you know? Like,
maybe they did. Yeah, maybe they didn't care.
Maybe they're just like, this guy seems to know his shit, and then the other guy dies, and she's like, that guy's a dumbass. He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Should have called me. So maybe that's the whole point of this video, is like, call me, guys. I'll help you. Make sure it's accurate. Yeah.
Sometimes they do. I forgot what movie it is. I think it was like Interstellar or something. But like, I think they called him and they're like, hey, I need the star maps that will make this accurate. And then they did an accurate star representation of space during that time frame.
Oh, that's dope. Yeah.
So they do sometimes.
Yeah, there you go. Marketing for him.
Cool. Well, I think that's a good place for us to wrap it up. So thank you for everybody for listening. Don't forget to follow or subscribe to be notified of new episodes. We post new episodes every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on podcast services and YouTube. You can also find us on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Pixelated Realms. Thank you very much, everyone.
All right. See you guys.